So memories from our childhood are often sentimental to us, right? Now for me, as a priest, I actually often think of my childhood days in the church. Now, my family growing up was constantly at the church. I'm sure you're so surprised. Well, Sunday Mass each week, of course, right, without question. I also altar served a couple times a month. At that time in my life, we had so many altar servers, we had to have a schedule and take turns. In fact, I only made it like maybe once or twice a month. We'd also, of course, go to the Stations of the Cross every Friday in Lent in the evening as a family. Now, mind you, I went to Catholic school, and our parish school had held stations earlier that day, but that's nice. We went always back in the evening as well. We'd go to the parish mission every year. We'd go to Sunday coffee and donuts. My memories of coffee and donuts is actually not the donuts, but my parish apparently did bingo, because as little kids, we'd always be on the ground searching for those bingo chips, see if anyone dropped them so we'd keep them. We were just at the church a lot. I told you this too before. We'd go to confession at least once a month, or if my mom was really angry at us, we'd go more often. And we'd have to stand in line and wait. There was always a long confessional line. Now, the confessional box in my parish church was very similar to the ones in the back of the church here, where it had just heavy curtains for the doors. So if someone was in there, and I know this never happens, but was speaking very loudly, we'd all have to do one of these, in order not to hear them. Now, I remember my parish priest would, every time without fail, give me for my penance three Hail Marys, right? Obviously, probably because I was a kid, so, you know, a simple penance was all I could do. Now, over the years, I've heard people making fun of receiving penances like this, right? As if the priest didn't care or really listen to our confession. So, for example, you know, bless me, Father, I lied once. Okay, three Hail Marys. Or, bless me, Father, I stole $70,000. That's nice, three Hail Marys. Next. Now, jokes aside, right, what might seem small or just simply going through the motions still has deep spiritual impact. If only we could see visibly the grace we receive from a single confession. No matter what penance we receive, no matter what the priest says to us in council, God knows, and so does the devil. Praise God. My family was not perfect, but they did instill in me the importance of the sacraments. And as I've told before, except for a very short period of time in college, I have not taken them for granted. Especially, right, if we've gone to the sacraments since we were little, you know, we can just fall into going through the motions of Catholicism and often forget about the grace God wants to give us through his sacraments. Likewise, if we're not around the church as much, other than on Sundays, we might not have the habit of coming to Christ's sacraments other than when we have to. Yet, the grace is always there, waiting for us. Now, as we approach Easter, the readings are geared toward those who will be coming into the church, those who will be baptized. In the Gospel today, we hear the famous story of the raising of Lazarus. Christ revealed to those around him that he had authority over death, but at the same time was still fully human. I mean, after all, he cried at the tomb of Lazarus, experiencing the reality of loss that all of us experience at some point or another, right? I mean, he felt compassion and mercy for Martha and Mary at the death of their brother. He was truly one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. Yet, he also explained to Martha that natural death was not the end of all things, that there was a reason to hope even in the midst of sadness. Christ, in that beautiful manner, explained that he was the resurrection and the life. Therefore, whoever had faith in him would have eternal life in heaven and not live simply an earthly life. That this life wasn't all there was. There was something much better. Ultimately, the reason why he'd raise Lazarus from the dead would be to teach the people to put their faith in him. For them to recognize that he was God Almighty, who had come to save them from their sins and lead them to paradise. Now, in his human nature, Christ showed that death was a difficult reality, yes. and that he sympathized with us. But he wanted to give those around him hope, because for those who love God, natural death is not something to be feared in this life. It is not the end, but in a way, it's the beginning. Now, for us here, fast forward 2,000 years or so later, Christ no longer physically walks this earth as he once did, obviously. Therefore, under normal circumstances, right, we don't generally see those who are physically dead come back to life. And just as Christ did with Lazarus, we still struggle with death in general. And you know what? We always are going to. Because death is a consequence of sin. Right? Death was not how it was supposed to be in the beginning. Yet now, in our own day, because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we have the gift of spiritual life through the grace of the sacraments. You see, the story of Lazarus, like the other Gospels during Lent, is presented to us as an allusion to the sacraments of baptism and penance, in which a person who was spiritually dead is raised to new life in Christ. A person to be baptized is dead because he is born with the effects of original sin, with a ruptured relationship with his Creator. Yet through baptism, a person is spiritually born again, and that ruptured relationship is restored. The person is not simply a creation of God, but is now a child of God. Now, baptism washes away the effects of original sin, but it does not remove temptation from our lives, as we know all too well. And as members of the Church of God, we who are baptized are now called to live up to those baptismal promises that we or our parents made for us on our baptismal day, to reject sin and Satan. Our catechumens are about to do this here in just short 2 weeks. Yet, we who are already baptized, we still sin. Every day, even after baptism. St. Paul would describe it as, I do the very things I hate. Now, God gave us the freedom to choose either to live as his sons and daughters or not, to be able to reject him through our actions, if we so desired. But our actions point to where our heart is. You know, when we sin, we always hurt our relationship with God. But if we sin mortally, seriously, we lose the life of God within us that we were graced with at our baptism. The soul, then, without the life of God, becomes spiritually dead because it is no longer united to God as it had been since baptism. A person in the state of mortal sin, therefore, has freely chosen to be in hell if he or she dies before repenting. That being said, the way we return to that healing love of God is by encountering him and receiving new life from him in the confessional. Okay, so today we celebrate the fifth Sunday of Lent. We enter into the final phase of Lent that is classically called Passiontide, which encompasses those last 2 weeks leading up to Christ's passion and death. As you've all noticed by now, all the religious images and statues have been veiled. And I know it looks somewhat odd, but the Church officially recommends this ancient practice as a way of focusing more on Christ's approaching passion. So the veiled images and statues remind us in a visual way that our faith, in all its glory, is made possible only through the work of Christ and his suffering and death on the cross. Being a saint and residing in heaven with the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, these are only attainable because of Christ's passion. When we cover these holy and sacred images of heavenly things that we're so accustomed to seeing and which make the Church so beautiful, we are starkly confronted and we're reminded of the privilege, reminded in a poignant way of all that Christ has won for us, right? The privilege of being a saint in heaven is because of the cross. Temporarily veiling the crosses and religious images, right, in the color of purple, the color of Lent, is a beautiful custom that helps us to reflect on the deeper meaning of the liturgical season. Right? And covering all the images, all attention is centered on the passion and death of our Lord that is approaching. And that's why, if you notice, the only images that are not covered are the stations of the cross, which deal with his suffering. and we will unveil the cross itself on Good Friday. Yet, just as the church asks us to visually focus on the coming passion of our Lord by removing by what might draw us away from focusing on his death, right, those beautiful things, so too should we do so in our spiritual lives as well. So now that we've passed Laetare Sunday, right, last Sunday when the priests wore robes, we're in the final weeks of Lent. We're nearing the end. The veiling reminds us that Holy Week is approaching. It's literally next week. Holy Week is the holiest of all the weeks of the year, and in it is the sacred Triduum. Holy Thursday evening, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Day, the celebration of Christ's last hours and death on earth. Passiontide, with the veiling of the images, should motivate us not then to continue in any spiritual laziness, but to step up our A game, right? In other words, as we approach Holy Week, we are called to go the extra mile and dive into Lent even more, right? We're in the final stages. So, to put it all together, now, in this Passiontide before Easter, now is the time to examine our consciences and prepare to receive God's graces available to us this Easter season. And here we go. A good way to do this for us who have been baptized is to run to the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of confession, or if we've been recently, to make it a more frequent habit in our lives. Just as Lazarus was raised from physical death to life through the sacrament of penance, Christ raises us who have been baptized from spiritual death to life. And for our catechumens, your baptism will raise you from spiritual death to life. So this is actually why the early church fathers called the sacrament of penance, symbolically they called it a second baptism. Not because you were literally being poured water again, but because of the new life we regain once we confess any serious sins and are restored our relationship with God and his church. So this Thursday, as I mentioned, we're going to have special time for confessions available beginning at 6 p.m., and we'll go as late as we need to. And it's not going to be just me and Father Zabel here. We'll have at least one other priest. So if you don't want to go to us, I understand. I'm not going to give you three Hail Marys, right? But there'll be other priests that you can go to. Next Wednesday, the Wednesday of Holy Week, so not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, Spy Wednesday, we're also going to have extra confession times in the evening. On Good Friday, we're going to have confession times all throughout the day. Last year, I think Father and I both heard confessions for 8 hours on Good Friday. It was beautiful. The greatest gift that you can give our Lord this Easter is to receive his mercy in the sacrament of confession, especially if you have not been for some time. If you have not been for some time, i.e. this year, you need to go to confession. We as Catholics have such a great gift in the sacrament, and we do not even use it. And there's no excuse because your priest is talking to you about it. Now, in the sacrament of confession, the tomb of our sinfulness is opened, and we, like Lazarus, emerge a new person, ready to give of our lives and minister to those family and friends who are far from the mercy of God, ready to start life again, motivated by the grace of God. You know, we actually celebrate Lazarus, of course, as a saint today. And the tradition is that after he rose from the dead, he would go on and become ordained a bishop, and he would die a martyr for the faith. When we receive the graces of the sacrament of confession, we are motivated to live for our Lord and give of our lives completely to him. In our day-to-day lives, we can choose to focus simply on our physical lives that will end eventually, or we can choose to focus on our spiritual life, which will endure. We can just go through the motions of Catholicism, right, but not realize the abundant grace that is available to us. We can take the sacraments for granted. But then when we meet our Lord face to face on our judgment day, he will say to us, I do not know you because you did not want to know me. And so, in this Passiontide, as we near the end of Lent, what is holding us back from starting the beautiful and life-giving habit of going to confession more regularly? Amen.